We're continuing a series, began last week, on unwrapped gifts. And began with the foundation of all gifts, and that is the gift of God. And that we looked at the realization that God says, because it's true, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at unwrapping some other gifts. And we're not looking at all of them, and depending on how you go through the Bible, you'll find a variety of different lists of things that are described as spiritual gifts. And so we're going to take some of those, and part of them are going to come out of a passage out of the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to add some others from some of his letters to the Corinthians as we go through this series, as we unwrap gifts for the purpose of putting them to use. It's typically why we unwrap a gift. Number one, we want to see what's in it. But number two, we want to use it. We want to enjoy it. We want to experience whatever that is. And so as Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 6, he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." And so that kind of becomes the background for much of this series on unwrapped gifts. And we're going to begin this part of the series with the unwrapped gift of giving. And recognizing that God's desire is that we understand His gift to us and we put it to use. Now, as he describes these as spiritual gifts, he makes it clear that these are given in different proportions to different individuals. And so one may have a greater spiritual gift of giving, of contributing to the needs of others, is how Paul addressed it in Romans. But I believe as we understand Scripture, there's a call for all of us to be involved in helping others. It's not something that we can simply sit back and say, "Well, I don't have the gift of giving. I don't have to give anything." Okay, we tend to do that. We do that a lot with the spiritual gifts. We do it a lot with what we refer to as the fruit of the Spirit. Those characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We kind of like to pick out of that the things that we want and we discard the things that we would rather not have. We would love and like the fact that our love increases, but we're not so keen on the idea of increasing our patience. You know, the patience is something God gifted someone else with, not me. But in reality, he says those things are a fruit of the Spirit that ought to be evident in all of us. And I believe to some degree, when he talks about spiritual gifts, there ought to be a presence of all of those within us, even though some of them are stronger in us than others might be. And he does that so that the body of Christ is built up, so that it's encouraged, so that the burden does not fall upon one person. That as each part, each member does its part, the body grows. And so as we look at the gift of giving, I want us to consider that the heart of giving is give. Now, so many times we talk about giving, especially within the church, our first thought is they're wanting my money again. And fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, money is actually a small part of what God wants. When we think about this gift of giving and what we ought to give, money kind of becomes a secondary result of us giving first ourselves. Because when we give ourselves, Jesus says that where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Where your heart is, your treasure will follow. So what does it look like to unwrap this gift of giving, to actually give as God wants us to give? So we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first 15 verses. As we dive into the characteristics of the heart of give, we like it typically when people give to us. We just went through this season of Christmas. A lot of gifts given and received, and we enjoy, most of us at least, we enjoy both aspects of that. But when we look at God's Word and we understand that all of the good gifts that we have, whether we give them or receive them, have first come from Him, then it ought to shape how we give to others. It ought to shape how we give to God. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians, I love the positive spin and wording that he uses in this, because it reminds me so much of our body of Christ here at Deer Run. We look at the incredible way that God continues to provide for the needs of the ministry that takes place here in this building and provide for the building itself. And I can join with Paul in saying, I'm thankful to God for your generosity in the way that you give financially, in the way that you give of yourself. But I still address it because it's God's Word and it's His reminder to us to keep at it, to don't give up, to even grow in the grace and the gift of giving. And the first aspect that the heart of giving is give, is the heart of giving is generosity. It's giving above and beyond what we even think we can, knowing that it's coming from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and now, brethren, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. God's desire, as we understand the heart of give, is that we understand living with a generous spirit, a generous nature that does more because we want to do more. It's not coerced, it's not forced, it's not some guilt trip that we lay on people. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, he writes to us and says, you're giving, the giving of the Macedonians has become this example, not because we commanded them, not because we made them feel guilty, but it became an example because of their generous spirit that begged to us that they could do more. And out of that generosity was born a desire to please and honor God. And when we want to increase our generosity, the first step is always to give yourself fully to God. Now again, I'm not talking specifically about money. Money's a part of it. I'm talking about learning to be generous with our time, with our ability. Learning to be generous with our willingness to listen, with our compassion, with our mercy. To recognize that the needs that the people that we encounter day in and day out may not have anything to do with money. That doesn't mean we get to ignore it. The needs of the people that we encounter day in and day out might have to do with money, and that doesn't mean we get to ignore that either. Living with this gift of giving says, I look at myself and understand that I belong to God. And I'm not just giving a part of myself to God, I'm being generous in giving of my whole self to God. Not that it's really considered generous because it's what's owed to him. It's what's deserved. We typically think of generosity as something that's above and beyond what's expected or what's owed or what's deserved. And well, what I give to God never goes above and beyond what's owed, expected, or deserved because he's owed, expected, and deserved all of me. But from our perspective, from our terms, giving everything is one of the most generous things you can do. And when we live life giving ourselves first to God, then all of a sudden we become less clingy to our own stuff. It's God's stuff, so it doesn't matter quite as much. And I know it's a process. I'm not saying this is something that happens overnight, for most of us at least. We continually grow, especially for those of us that have the pack rat mentality and gene within our body. We like to cling to stuff. We like to keep stuff. Yeah, I'm not a hoarder. I keep that word is a little different, but I do keep things. And so it takes work to become more generous. To say, I have it, but I'm not sure I want to give it up. And at the heart of unwrapping the gift of giving is a desire to be known by God as one who is generous. And that looks different from one person to the next. Because God has gifted us with resources that are different. And so to judge someone else's generosity by my generosity would be wrong, just as to judge my generosity by their generosity would be wrong. I'm not creating a one-size-fits-all. God's not creating a one-size-fits-all plan of giving. He sets forth kind of the baseline of a tithe, of recognizing that we owe him more than that, but it's a representation of all that we have. But when it comes to our generosity with others, we must begin with the generosity towards God. As we unwrap this gift of giving and find the heart of generosity, we also find the heart of intention. Sometimes we can appear generous because we know it makes us look good. We'll give in this manner and in this way and to this person because somehow it brings recognition to me. Jesus says that if we give our gift for the sole purpose of being recognized, that the applause that we receive is the only reward we'll get. And so when we look at unwrap this gift of giving, we look at the heart of intention of why would I give anyhow? And sometimes that is a question that we ask ourselves and that we struggle with, because we become the judge that says they don't deserve it. And all of a sudden, our giving becomes not about being generous, not about expressing the gift of God, but it becomes about us. We continue in with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, picking up at verse 6. And so we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. We looked at that in our Philippians series, that even though he existed in heaven with the quality with God, he did not consider that something to be grasped or to be clung to, but rather he emptied himself, and not just emptied himself to become an important person on earth. He emptied himself to become a slave to all, to become servant of everyone. And we look and we unwrap this heart of giving. We unwrap the intention of our heart to say, why is it that I give to God? Why is it that I give to a need? Now, it doesn't take very long, if you have eyes that are open at all, to see needs that are present. And for most of us, at least, there are more needs that we are aware of than we really have the ability to do much about. And so we ought to begin to ask God, where is it that you want me to be involved? What intention do you have for me to represent Jesus to someone else through this gift of giving? You see, that's the intention God has for revealing and unwrapping this gift of giving in our life. It's always about him. God's intention is that through our generosity, through our giving, that people will come to know him, that people will put their faith in him, that people's lives will be transformed because they see through our generosity, his generosity. As we learn this gift of giving and we begin to unwrap it, it's like every other aspect of our life. God's requirement is that we examine ourselves. We look for our intention. And so many times we're more likely to look at somebody else and says, well, they just did that because it makes them look good. And my response might be, well, why didn't you do it? So they didn't have to. We see, we tend to judge the intentions and motives of others without examining our own. And as we unwrap this gift of giving, we unwrap the intention of God. That through his family, no family member is left behind. No family member is uncared for. No family member is forgotten. And we unwrap this gift of giving. And we ask God to purify our hearts, to cleanse our motives, to make our intention correct, so that Jesus is seen. Just as we want to excel in other things, may we learn to excel in the intention of giving, such that it honors and glorifies Jesus. One of the reasons that I've always enjoyed the opportunities I've had to volunteer with aids in disaster relief is because they're very deliberate about helping people in great need. But they're more than just deliberate about helping people in great need. They're very deliberate about helping people in great need in the name of Jesus. Their intention is that Jesus is known, that Jesus is seen, that the name of Jesus is multiplied in communities that experience disaster. And when we look at our life and we look at our community and we look at our world, we see people who are hurting, who are in great need. And our intention ought to be to share Jesus, not just through words, but through action, through our intention of helping them. Because Jesus has helped us. As we unwrap the gift of giving, we find the heart of generosity. We find the heart of intention. We also find the heart of value. We've probably all been there. We talked about this a little bit last week, where we're given a gift that might have value to the giver, but has no value to us. You ever been to one of these gift exchanges, white elephant gift exchanges, I think they call them? The idea is you find some junk at your house that you don't want, and you wrap it up, and you pawn it off on somebody else, and you call it a gift. Now, it's a little more complicated than that, I suppose, but that's kind of really the heart of it. Now, sometimes the person that receives that white elephant gift that you had no use for is so excited and thrilled and think, wow, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And you're looking at it and say, what for? Because we all have different desires. We all have different needs. We all have different wants. And so what we may consider junk, someone else may think is quite valuable. And what they consider junk, we might think is quite valuable. But as we unwrap this gift of giving that God puts within us, we discover the things of great value are much different than the things of this world. He goes on as we pick up in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God puts the value of our giving not on the dollar amount, not on the hours spent, but on what he has given. Jesus tells us the story of a man who comes in and gives to the treasury of the temple a great amount. And in doing so, he kind of toots his own horn. He celebrates himself. He says, look at this. Watch me. I'm getting ready to give. Everybody come look. Listen to these coins. There's a lot of them. And another woman comes in and gives two small coins quietly, maybe even embarrassed, thinking it's not much. And the response of Jesus to those that are listening is this woman gave more than everybody else. The value was greater because Jesus says she gave everything that she had. We tend to judge value according to our economic standards of this country, of this world. And when we unwrap this gift of giving, we have to unwrap the value that God places in each person. And when we first give of ourselves, we give of the thing that is most valuable to God. And that's us. That's those that he created in his image. And the great news about giving of ourselves first is that we have equal value from that perspective. If you give yourself fully to God, it's just as important to Him as if I give myself fully to God. If that person that you work with that irritates you all the time, that you don't want anything to do with, gives themselves fully to God, it's just as valuable to Him as you giving yourself fully to God. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, he writes to us, and he says the things of most value are not the things of this world, but it's the souls of mankind. And when we begin to live life putting that at the top of our list, when we're more concerned about the salvation of those who are lost than we are about our balance sheet, we put the value and we increase it in our mind to where it matches the value that God puts. I love the old story of the stereotypical Peter greeting people at heaven, and a guy shows up somehow with a suitcase. And he says, "This is really strange. We don't let people bring stuff in. You're brought here, and we provide everything." And the guy says, "Well, I really bargained with God to be able to bring this one suitcase because it means so much." And Peter's saying, "Well, okay, well, let's open it up and see what it is. I have to decide whether we can bring it in or not." And the guy opens this suitcase, and it's full of gold bars. And Peter says, "Oh, paving material. We have enough of that. Our streets are already paved. Why did you waste all your time bringing that with you?" You see, the things God values are not always the same things that we value, especially those things we value within our human nature. The things that we get to take to heaven with us are those that we share Jesus with. The rest of the stuff that we accumulate here on earth, all of my garage and storage spaces and those things that I like to put things in, I can't take with me. But when we learn to value the things that God values, all of a sudden we begin to be more inclined to use the things we value in a way that honors Him. We become more generous with our money. We become more generous with our time. We become more generous with our talents and abilities. We have a great body of Christ here at Deer Run that is generous with time and talent and ability and money. And there's so much that happens and that goes on because people say, "I'm able to do that. How can I help?" And that comes not because we think we're so good, but because we value God to such an extent, we recognize those gifts and abilities come from Him, and I ought to be using them to serve others. As we unwrap this gift of giving, we unwrap the heart of generosity, the heart of intention, the heart of value, but we also unwrap the heart of enough. For most of us, God's word that says the eye is never satisfied, it rings true. Super Bowl football game is coming up, and I don't know what the latest figures are, but in years past, the dollar amount to buy a 30-second advertisement during that sporting event is just incredibly insane. Now, last I've heard, it was in the millions of dollars just to have your advertisement seen for 30 seconds. Now, why in the world would anybody pay that kind of money to put an advertisement on television? Well, it's because they know that if you see it, you're not satisfied with what you already have. they know that people will see that advertisement and they will not say to themselves, "No thanks, I have enough." They'll see that advertisement and they will say to themselves, "I need that." Not that I want that. They'll say to themselves, "I need that." We have a difficulty within our human nature to ever say enough. It's been said that, and I forget which one, but some very wealthy man was asked, "How much is enough?" And he said, "Just a dollar more." And that's the way we tend to live. We're not easily satisfied as human beings. And so as we continue and finish up this section of 2 Corinthians 8, we're picking up in verse 13. To realize that the heart of giving is not meant to be a hardship on you or on anyone else, but it's meant to be a gift that's enough. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. And then there will be equality. As it is written, "He who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little." That last quote is referencing the Israelites going out to gather manna that God had supplied for their daily sustenance. And they were given instructions, just gather enough for today because it's not going to last till tomorrow. Now, in preparation for the Sabbath, they could gather enough for that day and then enough for the Sabbath day because they were not to work, they were not to go out. In fact, God says there won't be any there. But sometimes we struggle with knowing how much is enough. And I'm guessing in those early days of the manna being found out on the ground in the mornings, that the Israelites would go out and say, "Well, I don't know how much of this I need. I've never had it before." You know, it's like many wives sending their husband to the grocery store. And they have a list, but it's not specific enough to know how much you need. And so they come back with, you know, a bag of 10-pound bag of onions when you just needed one. And you're thinking, "I didn't know one onion would be enough for anything." Well, I think that's part of what happened with the Israelites. They were out collecting this manna. God says, "Only take enough for today." They've never had manna before. In fact, the word manna says, "What is it?" Because they didn't know what it was. And God says, whatever they collected was enough. Because their motivation was in obedience to God. And the one that collected a lot discovered that it was enough for their family. The one that collected little discovered it was enough for their family. But it was because they were doing their best. They were seeking to be obedient to God, to honor Him. And as we live life, it's so easy to begin to compare what we have to what someone else has. And most of the time, our nature is to compare what we have to someone that has more and to think, "Why don't I have enough?" It's somewhat rare that we compare what we have to someone that has less. Because when we begin to do that, we're typically convicted to share a little bit more than what we do share. But when we compare ourselves to someone that has more, we tell ourselves, "Well, they ought to share. Not me." And God says the purpose of implementing this gift of giving, the gift that He gives, is not that it becomes burdensome on those who have a lot, not that it becomes burdensome on those who have little, but it becomes a shared responsibility of seeing that the body of Christ and its needs are met. And God says we each ought to give in proportion, in accordance with what he has given us. And as we look at the generosity, as we look at the intention, as we look at the value, we begin to discover that what God gave is enough. Here in a few moments, a few minutes, we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table. We take that little piece of bread, we take that small cup of juice, and we remember that what God gave with his son Jesus, who shed his blood, whose body was broken, and that was enough to cover the penalty of our sin, to cover our greatest need. Oh, we have needs, and many times for many of us, we have times in our life, you may be there right now, where you're going through your needs and you're prioritizing them because you really don't have enough to meet all of them right now, but you start to have to decide what's the most important. What do I have to cover first? And when we consider the actual needs that we have, the most important need is to be made right with God. And when we look to Jesus, we discover that he is enough to be made right with God. We talked about that last week in the gift of God. That it's by his grace, it's his gift that we are saved, not by our works or anything that we could do, otherwise we would boast about it. But God's declaration to you and to me is that he is enough. And because he is enough, we have enough to give according to how he has gifted us. To give according to how he desires. Not out of compulsion, not out of guilt, not out of somebody demanding, but out of going to him and saying, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Needs that are present, perhaps in your own life, perhaps in a friend's life. God, how can I help? And so many times we feel inadequate because the need that we see in somebody that we care about is so much greater than what we can help with. The great news is God doesn't expect you to do more than what he's equipped you to do. He wants you to recognize he is enough for you. And what he has given you is enough for what he wants in obedience. This morning, we come to a time of decision, a time to ask ourselves that question, what will I do with this gift that I've unwrapped, the gift of giving? Maybe it changes the amount that you choose to give, whether money, whether time, whether ability. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it encourages you with a reminder of the faithfulness of God in your life and a gratefulness to him for allowing you to use that faithfulness to help others. Maybe it challenges your generosity in some aspect. Maybe it challenges your intention that God would need to purify your heart, your motives. Maybe it challenges the value that you put on stuff rather than on spiritual things. Maybe it challenges the contentment that says God's enough. I trust, I believe, I live with a God who has given the gift of giving and has given the example by first giving himself, just as he calls us to first give ourselves to him. And after he gave himself, through his Spirit, he gives these spiritual gifts. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about more of those and how God's desire is that you unwrap his gifts and you enjoy them and you put them to use. If you're here this morning and you've never unwrapped the gift of salvation, the gift of God himself, that's where the rest of these gifts kind of flow from. They're the gifts of his Spirit that he gives to his children. And I'd love to talk with you about that decision to surrender fully to Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to sing that song of decision, and you can join me in the room to my left, and we can begin that discussion. But for most of us, we gather because we've made that decision. We've declared Jesus to be Lord of our life. We desire to live for him. And maybe our prayer has more to do with, God, help me to recognize your gift in my life. Help me to unwrap it. Help me to enjoy it. Help me to use it. If you're here this morning and you just need someone to pray with you, you're welcome always to just get somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? And pray where you're at. Go into another room to pray together. As we sing, you're also welcome to come and join me in the room and we can pray together as well. I know there are a lot of needs. And Merle was sharing just before I came up that a family that he's acquainted with has a young person in the family that's dealing with court issues and just needing prayer that God is made known through that and does things that only God can do. But we all have issues in life, I think. I'm not the only one. That we just need others to share in this gift of giving as we pray together, as we seek God together, as we honor him. Would you stand as we sing?